What up, witches?
What's up?
Welcome to this hopefully fun-filled episode of the Wayward Dragons. I'm Johnny.
I'm Kelsey. And
See
that's how
ya. I'm Johnny. Yeah, you are. Sometimes.
In this episode, we're going to talk about which are you, if you want to put a label
Which
on it.
witch is which witch?
Yeah, which are you? So we're going to talk about different types of witchcraft that you can practice. I'm going to disclaimer this before we begin. If you don't want to put a label on yourself, you absolutely do not have to. We're going to be talking a lot about a lot of different types of witchcraft, and frankly, a lot of these irritate me. I was getting very angry while I was doing the research for this because a lot of these are stupid, because they come up with different types of witchcraft all the time. Like when you Google this, different types of witchcraft besides like the main like three,
Okay, I am interested to see what you're talking about there.
I think we both have two different things in mind, and
Yeah.
yeah, I think you think
Yeah.
something, and I am talking about something totally different. So, some of this information comes from The Green Witch by Erin Murphy Hinchcock. This is mainly if you are looking to be a Green Witch, which we'll talk about in a minute. Kind of like the stepping stones to start doing that practice. I bought this because of the herbs and stuff that she talks about in this. And then some of this comes from The Modern Guide to Witchcraft by Skye Alexander. So she kind of they, I don't know if it's a she. Some of it's from that. I will say we will be going into Wicca, if at all, at a later date. We're not even going to cross that bridge right now. So that's where some of this information came from, and then some of it just came from the internet, as always.
And some of it I'm gonna throw interjections in for there's I because we did not talk about this beforehand because there are many different types of witches, so I'm interested to see where Kelsey goes with this. I think this is one of the things that we have very different opinions on.
Maybe. I don't. A lot of the things that I was finding, I think should just be a part of everybody's practice. Like honoring your ancestors. Like if you do a lot of ancestral worship, okay, fine. But there were some I was just like, I am so confused on why this
Are
is.
you referring to like hereditary witches in
No.
particular?
No, when you inherit something, that's something completely different. You inherit powers because that's how mediumship is. A lot of times, psychic abilities go through the maternal line with a lot of things in life. So that's something completely different. I'm not even going to talk about that, but like there was one I found that was like ancestral, and I'm like, I feel like that's part of everybody's practice to a degree. Like, yeah.
So,
I'm like,
when you get into ancestral practices with like witchcraft, like if you're an ancestral witch, and you can have multiple of these, this may be where you're coming from here. You can have multiple of these in your practice, in your wheelhouse. It's not specifically like this is what you have to have, or this is only what you can work with. So ancestral witches, they typically, yes, they honor their ancestors, but they typically work with their ancestors, and like you'll see this a lot in certain like voodoo and voodoo traditions, where they call forth their ancestors. You also see it in some like Shinto practices as well. and different, like, especially like southeastern, or no, yeah, southeastern Asia. You'll see a lot of this where they'll do ancestor practice and work with ancestral spirits. But yeah, I get what you're saying, like, about,
yeah,
I get what you're saying about, like, people should do it, or you feel that they should do it. But a lot of that comes from certain, like, regional practices and a lot of cultural practices.
Yeah.
Just within themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot. And we'll talk about, it's one of those things of, like, I don't necessarily call it you being a witch. I think it's who you worship as your deity.
So you're delineating, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm just trying to understand. You're delineating the practice of what they're doing versus the type of which they are. Like, you're not saying that, you know, this person is this type of witch because they do this practice. Is that correct?
Like, okay. If all you do, if, like, okay, one of the witches that I found on this list was, let me bring it, was an angel witch. So it invokes and communicates and works with angels. So my thought process is that is your chosen deity, is the angel in which you work with, is how I am taking it. Because
so,
you can have a different god and goddess that, or both or whatever you have, but if that's what you've chosen as, I see that more as a deity, because that's a thing, that's a being.
So I have come across that terminology. I have an issue with that terminology because it's not really an angel witch. Typically what you're doing is you're practicing high magic or as a high magician. And so it's, you're either a high magician, and you can be a high magic practicing witch, if that's how you want to identify.
Yeah.
So that is, high magic is a thing within itself. And like I said, you can be a, you know, or ceremonial magic, I think is the proper terminology there. Like, you can be a ceremonial magic witch.
Yeah, where you put high magic.
And that's all well and good. I mean, I guess you can specifically say, because with ceremonial magic, you could also work with demons and angels, yeah, depending on how you're doing it. So you could specifically say that you just work with angels, but I think having that, I don't really see a point in having that divide there.
That's the problem I was running into.
It's segregating for the sake of segregation. Like, yeah. I get that you want that distinction, and you want to say, hey, I'm a high magic practitioner, and, you know, I practice this way. But
yeah,
you don't necessarily need to have a definitive full description on what you're doing. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. But I think that's going a little too far. I think that's, it's similar to if you walk up to a Christian and, you know, you mentioned them being a Christian, or if you hear a Christian talking, and, you know, growing up in the South with a lot of Southern Baptists, you have this a lot where, you know, people, a lot of them won't say that they're a Christian. They'll say their denomination.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, but you're still a Christian. And they'll take it and, like, yep. Especially with Southern Baptists, when it comes to, like, talking about Catholics, they'll say, oh, they're Catholic, they're not a religion, or they're not Christian. And a lot of Catholics will say they're Catholic, they're not Christian. But you're still Christian because you are, in your aspect, you are following the path of the Christ child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, in your path to divinity. So, really, that's, you are still 100% Christian because you are allegedly following the teachings of the Christ child.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of like what I was running into is,
okay,
it, like one of the things I ran into was coven witch versus solidarity. And it's like, I don't, that to me, that's not
that's not a type of quit like that.
That's just a preferred practice, whether you go with
yeah, that is,
or you or you're solo. That's not something we need to stick witch with. Like, that's just a preferred practice.
I get the point of like solitary witch versus like a coven witch, or you know, someone who practices and is partially does solitary, but then we'll do like sabbats with other people. So I understand that. When we talk about different types of witches, typically in my mind, it goes to what practices and traditions are you following?
Yeah.
So again, yes, it is good to delineate between, you know, if you're having a conversation and someone's like, hey, do you want to come and, you know, participate in this event? You can say, no, I'm a solitary practitioner.
And that's the moment to say that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily identify like your type of witchcraft as solitary.
Yeah.
But I can see why people would.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a solidarity witch. I am a solidarity practitioner. This is how I choose to practice. This is how I choose to do things, whether it's in a group or by myself. How I prefer to do things, I don't think that, again...
Well, I think that is more us arguing semantics.
Yeah.
I think that's more us arguing semantics because they have, you know, a lot of this comes from like which articles you're reading it or which sources you're reading it from.
Yes. Yeah, because
there's
tons of stuff that I found online, like just tons of stuff. My thought is I'm going to go over kind of the main types, like green, kitchen, hedge, death. We'll go over kind of the main ones, and then we'll kind of talk about a few minor ones that were kind of irritating me or to me that don't make any sense. Because there's one I found, I was just like, I'm doing this and talking to my husband, and I was just like, I don't understand why this is even a witch, because this should be, if you're doing spell work, this is... I'm so confused.
some of it comes from which tradition you're following. So like, you know, you have your Gardnerian versus your Alexandrian, which they are similar.
Yeah.
But they're also differentiating, and you know, you wouldn't have one go to a circle of the other typically because of how they do their practices.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, this is what I was, this is what did you think I was going to talk about?
Oh, I thought you were going to like go through all the different types of witches at it. Like I'll interject as we're going. Like I said, it's
okay.
We have slightly different views on how these are done. So
probably, there's a quote from the Green Witch that I really loved that I was like, I need to say this before. And I wish she put this in like the beginning of her book. But she quotes, witchcraft itself is a practice that involves the use of natural energies as an aid to accomplishing a task or reaching a goal. Which I thought was kind of interesting. That's a nice way to put that. Witchcraft acknowledges a god and or goddess and recognizes that magic is a natural phenomenon. Before we begin. It's like, that's actually, I thought that was a good, nice way to start that. So the first one I want to talk about is a green witch. So these tend to be your herbalists, your healers, your naturalists. They're defined by the relationship to the world around them. So they're going to be deeply connected to nature and all things that encompasses around them. They tend to leave a green path, whatever that means to them. It's mainly their interaction with their environment. So they might be completely off grid. They might be completely, homestead. They might be that type of person. They could forage a lot and make their own medicinal medicine. It's the main difference I see between a green witch and a kitchen witch is how you, it's the same products. You have the same herbs. It just depends on what you're using the herbs and stuff for, because you can either make a tonic, a tincture, something medicinal, or you can use the same stuff to make a really delicious meal. It just kind of depends on what you're going for. These used to be village herbalists, the village healers, the village midwives, a lot of this, or village wise women, wise people, because of their medicinal herbal knowledge. A lot of this was passed from person to person. These people might not have grimoires if they choose to. A lot of this information was just passed down from wise person to wise person. They may, if they are going to interact with spirits, they might interact with animal or just nature spirits, so elementals, who guard nature, because that's mainly what they're working with.
So with how you're defining this, you, from your point of view, you would classify an elemental witch, something like a sea witch, as a green witch then?
I would see it as a subclass. So you are choosing to work with nature, but what you have chosen to work with within nature is unique to yourself. So whether you choose to work with water and whatever water that you choose to, I would still say that you would be either an earth elemental or green witch. To me, those are kind of interchangeable in a way, because you are working with nature, you are working with an element, but whatever element you have chosen to work with is unique to you.
Okay. See, I'm going to be interjecting through this entire episode. So from my point of view, I would classify Green Witch as just nature abroad and working with the natural world, which is, something that a lot of witches do in general.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was finding.
Green Witches would have a heavier focus on, and Green Witch, honestly, it's a newer term.
It is.
So it's something that the author of that and whoever came up with the term may have taken all these like ideas and has formed a collective ideology around it.
But that's part of what she talks about, is the term is relatively new. And each path obviously is unique to each person. How they define it is different from how, like you and I define it one way, but you define it another. But she does go into that in this.
It's almost, to me, because I haven't read the book, and I'm not super knowledgeable on green witches. It's not something I've delved into. It's like I said, it's a newer term. But it seems to me like some of the stuff from green witches has just been like, let's create an eclectic terminology that's not eclectic witch. Mm-hmm. And to force all these other things into it. So it almost seems like, and it's like my perspective, but it almost seems like they're taking a terminology and just shoehorning all these other practices under that umbrella.
Kind of. I see it more as your herbalists, you're practicing more herbal remedies and stuff like that. I think that's what I envision it being, is you are very much a forager. You're going out to forage things and very much use the world around you to create food, medicine, anything that you need. That's
I'm gonna have to use some research on Green Witch.
Because, I mean, that's mainly what, like, she talks about, you know, how to connect to the elements in this. Like, she talks about, like, Paige just turned into the power of flowers and stuff.
Well, yeah, so there's a whole different sect of witchcraft that is, they are rose witches.
Yeah.
And again, it's like a whole rebranding thing, like trying to shoehorn certain things in or trying to take certain things. And, but that's the whole thing with it. But it mainly focuses on the spirit of the flower and how different flowers mean different things. So, but like I said, yeah. I'm going to delve a little deeper into this Green Witch.
Yeah. I take it as someone who, again, is an herbalist, who wants to use the power of herbs and flowers, because there are a lot of medicinal flowers, using them to make medicine. That's how I take it. And then, like, kitchen, to me, is you use the same properties, you're using the same products as like a Green Witch, but you're doing something very different with it. You're using the properties of the herbs, and instead of making a tincture out of it, you're making a roast or a soup or something. You're using that magical property of the herb, and instead of putting it in oil to let it sit, you're putting it into an oil because you're frying pork or whatever you're making. You know, that's how I took it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, while doing this, it was a lot of like how you interpret it to be. There's a lot of labels, and if you choose to have a label, you have a lot to pick from. A lot.
Yeah. Plus, I just did a quick Google search on Green Witch, and the quick Google search, basically it's describing it as, like you said, an herbalist, but it's someone who worships Mother Nature and the plants themselves.
Yeah.
As the, so it's still delineating, like separating like sea witch and animists and all that.
Yeah. This is how I kind of see it, is you have like elemental magic witch right here, and then you have all four elements, you know. So if you're a Green Witch, you know, you obviously worship Mother Earth and the Earth. And then, you know, if you're a Sea Witch, then you obviously worship water, fire, and air, you know. So it's kind of how I envision it. And you got elemental magic or whatever right here, and then you've got your four or five, depending on what you believe, as branches.
Okay.
That's how I kind of...
What else you got?
So this is where I saw a lot of times on Google, green hedge and witch or kitchen, all kind of weirdly interchanged. And I'm like, these are not all the same things.
No, because a kitchen witch is someone who does their practices in the hearth and home. Their whole thing there, yes, they may use the herbs and stuff, but they do the spell work through food preparation.
Yeah.
Typically they will have, their kit, their tools are typically like that they use for their magical practices and magical preparations in the food are, you know, things that they have anointed and given over to whatever deity that they serve or whatever power they are drawing from. And, you know, they'll have like their mixing spoon will be their wand. It's kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different there.
Yeah. And this is how I'm going to take what I have researched. But a hedge witch is someone who crosses the bridge between our realm and the spirit realm. Whether in whoever that spirit is can drastically change, whether that's ancestral, animal, elemental, whoever we're talking to, I don't it don't matter. That's how I am interpreting that. Someone with mild or moderate psychic abilities to be able to go to talk from our realm to the next realm. That's how I'm taking it. That's how I'm taking it.
Okay.
Because I don't know how else to take it. Not real sure. Because I kept finding like contradictory things about what it was. Like, why did I have to? Like Hedge Witch and Kitchen Witch and Modern Guide to Witchcraft. She quotes the terms Hedge Witch and Kitchen Witch can refer to someone who follows a home-based, free-form spiritual path that can't be clearly defined or identified as an existing neo-pagan path. In some circles, they connote a person who engages in a shamanic practice involving spirit journeys or tracing, often with the aid or support of herbal knowledge. So I just take it as someone who can go back and forth. However they get back and forth is up to them and their personal preference, because you can go back and forth different ways. So we have already talked about Kitchen Witch. We have already talked about that. Crystal Witch is someone obviously who practices a lot with crystals, but they could also practice with energy. If this is someone who moves a lot of energy or connects maybe with auras, something like that. I figured this might be someone who might be into Reiki healing because of all the energy work and crystal work that is involved with that. The next one, I found this termed a couple different ways. Cosmic, moon, or astrology witch. Because I kept finding them as different things. And I'm like, these are all the same thing.
Yeah, it's basically it's the practices and what they do is based off of
the star,
the cosmology. They work a lot with birth charts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm like, why are these three different things?
Like a lot of them, if they do spell work, they will take it and plan out their spell work based off of what, like, certain time of day. Like, say if you're, you know, doing something for work, you would do it in the hour of Jupiter on Thursday at, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's someone who's huge into the zodiac and the stars and all the planets and all the astrology stuff. The next one, eclectic witch, who is someone who picks and chooses what they want that suits their practice. And this can change from day to day, month to month, week to week. There's no set rules. They just pick and choose what they want to practice and it eventually becomes their own. I think everyone's kind of an eclectic witch because you can kind of, you pick and choose as a person what you want to practice. I just think that that's...
Unless you were trained in a certain tradition,
yeah,
more than likely you are in some way, shape, or form an eclectic witch.
Yeah, that's how I just kind of interpret it with everybody, because everybody's different and my practice is different from yours and yours is different from Joe Bob down the street or whatever. You know, you pick and choose.
Don't mess with Joe Bob down the street. That's some dark shit.
You know, everybody picks and chooses what works best for them. You know, I do stuff different from everybody else. We've already talked about elemental. I saw divination in more than one way while doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a divination witch as someone who is huge into divination and their way of divination is unique to them. So whether that's runes, stones, bones, tarot, a pendulum,
oracle cards, pendulums.
Yeah. Like however they choose to whatever form of divination they choose, but they are really good at that form of divination. Like, that is their jam. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it, because I saw it in, like, different ways, and I'm like, this is all the same thing. And then I saw, like, Ancestral Witch, but I also saw Death Witch kind of in the, they're kind of, I saw them kind of worded the same. This is someone who works a lot with ancestral spirits, but they also would be a medium. So they would pass people over.
Yeah, and this is all necromancy.
Yeah.
And no, I don't mean necromancy isn't like the fantasy, like, oh, I'm going to raise people from the dead.
Yeah.
It's, you know, communing with those who were passed before.
Yeah.
Whether it be ancestors of the land, ancestors of the blood, ancestors of the spirit and craft, or, you know, ancestors of whatever else. It's just communicating with those who have had, you know, influence on building who you are as an individual.
Yes.
And like I said before, so a lot of this stuff falls into other practices. You know, you see that a lot with voodoo and voodoo.
Yeah.
And then with certain Appalachian traditions as well.
Yeah. That's why I was having, like, a hard time with this, because I'm like, this is in other practices. I don't understand why we have to put, like a label on something.
And that's...
That's why I was getting really confused with this. In my
personally, I'm going to sound like an old fogey. So personally, I blame witch talk.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have your little witch talk witches and who, you know, are all, oh, love and light, do this, this, and this. And that's all fine and dandy, you know, if you want to be a light worker, go for it. But the problem is that people have started just using terminology that it's not meant for, or making up their own terminology.
Yes.
Or, you know, will strip certain aspects, and it's, you're an eclectic witch. You're stripping certain aspects from different traditions, and which honestly, you know,
yes.
It's funny because they'll do that, like, and then they'll complain about cultural appropriation. Yes. But that's a whole other conversation. Like, yeah. You're going to culturally appropriate and then complain about people culturally appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, it's the pot calling the kettle black. But that's not what I'm here for today.
Yeah.
So you'll have these individuals that will take it, and, you know, it's do your practice your way, but don't be a hypocrite about it.
Yeah. Well, like,
and, you know, don't just make up new terms because you don't know the terms for what they're called, or you don't understand the terminology of something. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you can make up what it is and then get pissed off and say, no, it's this.
Yeah.
Guys,
that's not how this works. There's
no point in that. Like, everyone's practice is their own.
Yeah.
People come from different traditions and respect those traditions. Like, you've got, you know, Celtic witches that practice in certain, you know, stuff that's specific for Celtic deities and, you know, Celtic cultural differences. You have the Brujas and Brujos, which are, you know, Hispanic witches that do healing and death work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You have, you know, people who practice Santeria. You have, like I said, voodoo, voodoo. You have people who practice Shintoism. And there's so many different types of witches out there. But the thing is that a lot of it just comes from tradition that you're trained in. And, like, what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you have, you know, like, the fairy witches, or those who work with, specifically with fairies. And, again, this could be roped into Celtic in some ways, but in other ways not, because it does pull from a number of different things. You have gray witches who, you know, don't believe that magic is inherently good or evil, or dark or light, whatever. And they walk the middle path and believe that everything should be an energy exchange. You know, you have, and I hate the term gypsy, but because it's a derogatory term, but you have gypsy witches that, you know, practice Romani stuff. You know, you have all sorts
of different you pull up things. A laundry list of things. Like,
and, like, even outside,
crazy.
Even outside of paganism. Even outside of paganism, you know, you have, like, you know, you do have satanic witches that will take it and practice stuff. And again, they're high magic witches, even though they're calling themselves something different, like with the angel witch.
Yeah.
But they're high magic witches that are practicing high magic just to a different end and to a different deity.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's a lot of what I was finding.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people miss. And like I said, it's, I blame witch talk because, you know, you have all these people out here. It's like, oh, I'm this and I do this practice and blah, 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 blah. It's like, that's great. But, you know, and that's fine. That's what you want to call it. But don't market it as this is something new that you've discovered or invented or whatever, you know, because traditions evolve and traditions change and names change. But this reality is that you can't get mad when people call what you're doing something else because, you know, that's how culture evolves.
Yeah.
You know, you're not being disrespectful about it.
Yeah. 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 Well, like...
Sorry, I just hijacked your episode.
No, you're fine. Well, and like to piggyback on the last episode that we did about sex magic and stuff, it's like, I kept coming across the term sex witch, and it's like, you just perform sex magic. It's these are not the same. Like I came across art witch, which uses color theory, and it's like, okay, when you practice different in like spell work, whatever you're choosing to do, different colors have different meanings. This isn't you just calling yourself an art witch. Now, if you put spells into your art, that is something totally different. But
I have a book. I gotta go check and see who it's by. That's actually really good for this. If you want to delve into color in magic, let me. I'll be right back.
No, you're cool. I need to get water.
So, Color Magic by Raymond Buckland, and we've talked about Raymond Buckland before. He's no longer with us. He's originally from Ohio, I think. There's like a whole thing that's set up for it. But in this book, he actually went into what the different colors mean in different like energies and different situations.
Yeah.
Great, great book. Highly recommend. There's like all sorts of fun practices in here and like little experiments that you can use with your craft.
Yeah.
And like, some scientific explanations and stuff.
Yeah.
Highly recommend checking this book out.
Yeah.
Unleash your inner power.
Well, that's one of those things where I was like, I'm reading that, and I was just like, this isn't a witch. This is just part of magical practice in general.
Like, yeah, and it's fine that that's the practice or the part of the practice that you focus on. But yeah. Just because you're focusing on a particular thing
doesn't
mean that you're...
Like, that's all.
Not, you know, everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what else? Mental witch was another one. A mental witch
works... Mental witch?
Mental, yeah. They only work with their mind. And I'm like, okay. That doesn't make any sense. Music witch. Spell work can be performed in tunes and lyrics. So it's like, okay, will you use music to help you with whatever you're doing? Some people need, you know, music to meditate and stuff. Some people like to have music in the background as they're performing spells and spell work and stuff. Like, I'm so confused.
Okay, so listen here, honey. If you're calling yourself a music witch, this is what you are. You're either using shamanic practices and shamanic drumming to get yourself into a magical mindset.
Yeah.
And or you are a bard.
Yeah.
You're a fucking bard. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to curse here for that, but you're a bard. That's what it's called. That's what it's been called for hundreds of years, if not longer. You are a individual who puts forth energy and manipulates energy and does spell work through musical acts, through poetry, and through performance.
Mm-hmm.
That is called a bard.
Yeah. 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 There were some I was finding that were just, they irritated the piss out of me. I'm just like, this is
no, not. No, no, I I get what you were saying about you being irritated now, because, like I said, and I blame Witch Talk for this, because people are like, oh, I'm this because I do this, this, this. People, do your research. There are terms for these things, and it's not the terms you're using. And if you want to use new terms, that's fine, but don't get offended or don't push back when other people are using it, because just because you follow through with a practice and it's a particular part of a practice, like I said earlier, it doesn't make you special for doing it that way.
Yeah. No. Oh, a dream witch also can be called a hedge rider. And I feel like this is just another version of a hedge witch, because it's someone who integrates dreamer practices into their craft. And it's like, okay, so you can astral project, but you also interpret dreams, which is a whole different, that's a whole different ballgame.
And we did a whole episode on that. Yeah. But again, guys, I'm going to stop saying it.
Like, just rewind
this episode, like 10 minutes, and listen to my rant again.
Yeah, like, okay, a tea witch. And it's like, okay, I see this as a form of divination, because it's someone who reads tea leaves, coffee grounds, and stuff like that.
And it's herbalism, because, you know, you're an herbalist as well, because you're using certain teas for certain practices.
Yeah, yeah. And then you go into the hereditary.
And I have a friend named Tea. Is this just like her specific brand of witchcraft?
I guess. Yeah. And you got the hereditary witch, which you're born into the practice, and this is what your family chooses to do. But I think that's
just, and that could mean a number of different things.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things of, like, I feel like hereditary and eclectic are this is where they're kind of similar, because the family over time has chosen what to pick, what to practice, and then it's just become family practice at that point.
Yeah, you can start off as an eclectic witch, and over time it would turn into, or you could start off at any number of witches, and at a time it would turn into just your family's tradition of witchcraft.
Yeah. Poison, the poison path. I thought that was kind of funny. And I'm like, okay, a lot of plants are, some plants are poisonous, and you have to do something to them to make them not poisonous anymore. Like, yeah.
So,
I'm just,
you really have to worry about here are the venomous plants.
Yes. Yeah. I was doing this and I was getting so irritated, because I'm like, okay, this is just not, we're just sticking labels on things just to stick labels on things. Like, yeah like techno witch. I'm like,
that I've actually heard of, and it's just an individual, because there's like a delineation of, and this is more of a mindset. So there's a delineation of, there are a lot of traditionalists that say you should not use technology in any way, shape, or form in your practice.
Yeah.
Techno witches are saying that, you know, we need to evolve with the time. And typically they'd say, no, we should be using technology mainly in our practices, or, you know, some happy blend. I think that depending on what you're using it for, technology is fine.
So I will take this to a different extreme. So, and this is completely fiction, what I'm about to say. So, one of the characters in Gail Martin's Deadly Curiosities is what I would say more my definition of a techno witch. So, he's very good. He's learning weaving magic in the books, but he uses that magic to hack. The same magic he would use to make tapestries, he eventually uses to hack into databases and stuff. That's what he... So when I think of a techno witch, I think of... That's what pops into my mind, is someone who is very good at hacking. And uses...
Sees the weave in a technological way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but typically techno witches are like individuals who... use technology in their practices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, hey, I don't have a fire. Here's a light bulb.
Yeah, type thing. Seasonal witch, and that's the last one we'll talk about. Someone who practices with the seasons. I'm a little confused there because...
Honey, that's just called a witch.
Yeah, I was like, why are we
like, you're practicing with the will of the year. you're turning with the will of the year. Yeah. And you're practicing different things as the wheel turns, honey.
Yeah.
That's just called a witch. Like, you're a Wiccan witch.
Yeah, I was getting so irritated. I'm just like, I'm sitting here at the computer and I'm just like, this, and this isn't going into like Brujas and all that other stuff. Like that is something totally different. And I'm just like, we're just sticking labels on things just to stick labels on things, folks. Like,
well, it's because everyone wants to feel special and feel unique and feel like their version of witchcraft is different, special.
Yeah.
And, you know, original, and it's not, and it's okay to not be original. Like, it's okay to have tradition and practices.
Yeah. Well, and it's okay to not have a label. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, I do not define myself as a witch. I define myself as a spiritual person. That's just me.
Your practice is between you.
Yeah.
And whatever, however you view the divine.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's fine. Find what works for you.
Yeah.
As long as you're not taking away the rights and freedoms of anyone else.
Who cares?
Find what works for you.
Yeah.
And go with it.
As long as you're not murdering people, you're not harming people or yourself, you're not taking the rights away from other people, and you're not hurting anybody, I really don't care what you do.
Well, you're not consensually, or you're not non-consensually hurting someone, because, you know, if you have a magical practice where you flog another person, kind of references back in our other episode.
This is very
true. Yeah, then, you know, go for that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, if that's your path to divinity, then go for it. Just don't take away the rights or abilities of anyone else.
Yeah. Are you ready to read some cards?
You know, I was really confused when you started this and you said that that angered you. And I get why, because
I was fired up last night.
A lot of these witch talk people, with actually, there's a type of witch that you didn't really reference. And I would classify most of them and most of these little subcategories under that, and that is a baby witch. And that is someone who is just starting out and just starting to explore. And so you're like dipping your toes into a bunch of different things to find out what works for you.
Yeah.
That's what I would classify a lot of these people as. Baby witch?
Yeah, I don't like that term. Don't sit right. you're just a beginner. You're just starting out. Just say you're a beginner. You're just starting your path. That's why I said you don't have to put a label on something if you don't want it to be. Because if you're just starting this out, you don't have to put a label on yourself because you just started. And labels are meant to be changed over time. And that's why I said I think everybody is just an eclectic witch, because you pick up what you want to practice as you go through your path. And you might be more green witch one time, and then you might, because of life, be more of a sea water witch. And then it might change again, and it might change again. You know, it's a label. It's not meant to stay.
Because we as individuals are meant to grow and evolve and change.
Like, that's why I'm like, I think everyone should just stick with eclectic. And then if your practice leans more towards one way sometimes, then that's just your practice right now. Like, I don't think that you have to put a label on every single thing. It's fucking irritating. So
on that note, on that note, we are going to move on to our tarot reading.
So what did you pull?
I pulled the Eight of Discs, also known as the Eight of Pentacles, the Eight of Coins, the Eight of Stones, because it has 100 different names because people couldn't decide on what to call it.
Gotcha.
What about yourself?
I pulled the world.
The whole world?
Yep, it's in my hands.
So you've got the whole world in your hands? So the Eight of Pentacles, is a card of apprenticeship and mystery, or mastery, not mystery, mastery. When this card appears in a tarot reading, you are working hard to improve your skills and become a master at what you do. You may have recently changed your work, education, or financial circumstances, and now you are applying your sheer determination and concentration to master the new skill that you are learning. You are diligent and hardworking, and you are applying yourself fully to whatever is at the center of your attention. As you do the same task over and over, you work your way towards mastery of your craft. And through your perseverance and unwavering attention, you create success.
Okay. So, keywords for the world. Fulfillment, harmony, and completion. Absolute unity, perfection, and accomplishment that draws from inner and outer sources. This card signals the harmony of the inner and outer worlds in reaching a level of enlightenment. An era of one's life is complete, and there is joy and celebration that is coming to welcome it. This card's lesson is, I belong. So, all your hard work is paying off, and just keep on trucking there, buddy.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the moral of our episode, is just keep doing you, being the best you can be, and live your best life, and keep working hard, because it's paying off. It's
paying off.
And, you know, just be you.
Yeah. So join us for our next episode. We're going to be talking about different types of salt. This would be a nice episode to put after what talking about different types of witchcraft. Salt is a major part of practicing. That's one of many tools, but it is a big one with a lot of different uses, and there are a lot of different kinds. So I figured that would be a nice thing to put at the back of this. So join us next time for that. Well, the next normal episode. Where that's what we're going to talk about. I hope everyone had a lovely Easter, Ostara type, whatever you celebrate around this time. Hope everyone survived April Fool's Day. So please rate, view, subscribe. Please tell a friend. Please join us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have a topic recommendation, a book recommendation, or if you are having a moment and need someone to talk to and don't have anybody to talk to, please email us at thewaverdragons@gmail.com. So until next time.
I'm Johnny.
And I'm Kelsey. Bye.
Bye.